The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, a weight-based tax on SUVs has been mooted by the Tax Strategy Group in its list of options for the government ahead of Budget 2026. The tax, which would be collected at vehicle registration, would apply to vehicles with a weight over 1,600 kilograms, meaning it would cover some cars as well as SUVs. Now, joining us to take a look at this in more detail is transport commentator, consultant to the RIAC, Conor Faulkner. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
This is an idea that has been kind of floating around for a while and has been implemented in France.
Yeah, and, you know, on the face of it, Pat, it's a pretty good idea. There's been a very unwelcome trend in car design and car size, and you and I have spoken about SUVs before, which can be unpopular for other reasons. But generally speaking, European cars have just become too large. They're 28% larger now on average than they were 20 years ago, and we're all seeing this as a trend. And, you know, there are all sorts of reasons why it's a poor idea. So incentivizing manufacturers to bring to market smaller, more appropriate, and therefore lower emission cars is on the face of it a pretty good idea. And as you say, they are doing it in France. Now, one thing that I would flag is, you know, are they hitting the right characteristic of the car? Because it's not so much the physical weight of the car that is a problem. And electric cars, in fact, are heavier than internal combustion engines. It's more the dimensions of the thing. You know, these large footprint SUV-type vehicles that are proliferating, and, you know, and not to get too down on them because they're a nice choice for the driver, but as a trend across the market, cars collectively are just too big. They're not fit for purpose almost. They're just too big.
What are the problems with SUVs in terms of their size? I mean, is it parking spaces that were designed maybe in older car parks for an earlier period and therefore for a typically smaller car?
Yeah, that's part of it for sure. It's actually not so much their emissions, because you can have an electric SUV, you can have a zero emission SUV. It's more the physical dimensions of them. And as I say, while it's comfortable for the individual driver, you know, it's a bit like when somebody stands up in the cinema. The people behind them can't see unless everybody stands up. And they can be a frustration in traffic. They can certainly be a frustration in tight spaces and older parking spaces. And in fact, not just because of SUVs, but because of electric vehicles, some of the older car parks are having to look at things like the dimensions of their bays and the weight tolerances of their ramps and things like that because of this trend of vehicles literally physically becoming bigger. And they respond to incentives. You can change this in the marketplace through taxation. Japan famously has a category of micro car called the K cars, which are tiny, dinky little things, perfectly functional cars, but they're low tax because they're tiny and they're much more appropriate for use in cities. You see even little minivans going around the place. Whereas we in Europe have the opposite trend, and definitely in the last 10 years or so, all of the manufacturers are making their basic models physically large and SUV-shaped.
Yeah. Now, Henry Ford famously said, there's no money in small cars. Like, big cars means big money, big profits. Small cars means small profits. And when you look at the construction of an SUV, often they are built on the same platform as a saloon car. You know, they have a code name for it. It'll be on platform A, B, or C, or whatever. And they can build an SUV, which actually is mostly extra air. It's mostly space. Yeah. It's not much extra weight. So I think they need to think this one through a bit. Now, there are some really obnoxiously big cars that have no place really in the city centre for a simple commute. And then there are those vehicles, literally sports utility vehicles, that's what it stands for, that where you throw the Hurley, the kit, the bike on the back of the car, you do everything, and it's a true, trusty family workhorse.
Yeah, and a people carrier the same. I mean, any criticism you might have on an SUV, you could also level as a people carrier, but it's a practical machine being used for a practical, sensible purpose. So how do you put your finger on this trend, which I think most people would broadly share the observation that, you know, cars collectively have become too big. Can we reduce the size with a tax incentive? I'm all in favour of that in principle. And in fact, I think one of the things that government is definitely looking at come the budget It would be some sort of scrappage scheme to encourage a switch to electric vehicles. You know, every chance of tweaking that, for example, to favour again a more modern car.
Isn't that what they're doing in France? I mean, they have this tax on the extra kilograms, but they do certain things. The tax is less or zero for electric vehicles, somewhat less for hybrid vehicles, which are using joint technologies. And then they have this sort of discount for families. So in other words, if you're buying an SUV and you've got three kids, well, maybe you should go ahead and buy that SUV. If, on the other hand, you don't have kids, you don't buy an SUV.
Yeah, and suddenly they're making their new tax rule very, very complicated altogether and going to decide whose is a family car and whose is not. Too complicated, in my view. I think you can go for a simpler rule. But look, we do know that the car market will respond to tax changes. The switch from at the time from petrol to diesel for environmental reasons was done by changing the basis of the tax. So they used to be taxed on engine size and they switched it to tax on tailpipe emissions instead. Terrific idea. And new cars became much, much lower emission in response to it. And I think in the same way, you can incentivize the market and incentivize manufacturers to, in the round, produce much more of the cars that are fit for purpose, for the purpose of everyday life on European roads, and move away from this trend of bigger is beautiful. Because, you know, I presume they're doing the Henry Ford analysis, and they would much rather sell you 50 grand's worth of SUV than 30 grand's worth of small car. But, you know, that's not necessarily in our interests as European consumers, and given the climate challenge and all the other things that we're trying to solve. And as I say, maybe I'm just being, you know, a little bit old-fashioned about this, but the broad trend of the typical family car becoming physically larger by the year, and now nearly 30% larger across the board than it was 20 years ago, there's just no need for that as a trend.
Now,
I think we should be pulling away from it.
I mean, often we don't copy other people. We just reinvent the wheel and make a mess of it ourselves. But to give people an idea of what happens in France, if you were registering, say, in January of this year, and your car is 1,950 kilograms in weight, and don't forget their margin is 1,600, no tax below 1,600 kilograms, well, the fraction of that car, which is 1,950 kilograms, that's between 1,600 kilograms and 1,799 kilograms, the tax would amount to 2,000. And then for the bit between 1,800 kilograms and 1,899 kilograms, the tax on that would amount to 1,500. And then the fraction of the mass between 1,900 kilograms and 1,950 kilograms would be 51 kilograms by 20 euro, which would be 1,020 kilograms, adding to the price of the car, 4,520 euro.
Yeah, and perhaps the actual mechanism might appear complicated, but the principle is pretty simple.
In other words, the heavier it is, the more you pay on the excess weight. That's the way they've run it.
Yeah, and it may well work, and you know, interesting to see how the trend develops. As I say, I would be less concerned with the weight physically per se, and you know, you make the point that electric vehicles themselves are heavier than combustion engines. To me, it's more the dimensions of the thing, the physical footprint of the car. And look, sure, we all see it. You can go into a car park these days, and if you see, three SUVs parked beside each other, the sheer size of them for the uses they're being put to, is fairly self-evidently excessive.
But there is a kind of an arms race, Connor, you know, when you're surrounded by SUVs, the only way you kind of see the road ahead is by being as big as them. If you're in your little Mini or your little Golf behind a large SUV, you see nothing. Now, mind you, the same is true of the man in the white van who blocks everybody's view. But there is a kind of an arms race that everyone wants that bigger car to get a better view.
Yeah, and actually it's the one thing that SUV drivers really like about the vehicles is the high driver position. You're right, it only becomes, it moves from being a nice advantage to a necessity if everybody's in these oversized vehicles. And look, on the roads in normal life, in the cities and towns, you're going to be behind trucks and vans. It's, there are vehicles everywhere as people go about their business. But it is a reasonable observation to say that the ordinary domestic family car is getting bigger and bigger and bigger to no good purpose that we can see. And it's reasonable to my mind to pull that back through a tax measure.
Okay. Now, I'll read you some of the comments coming in, Connor. I have an SUV, a Kona hybrid, and the reason I bought it is it's higher, so it's so much easier to get in and out of, especially when my 90-year-old mother is embarking on a journey with me. Rubbish cost-saving measures. Do something useful and call for the government to drop the USC temporary tax, so-called temporary. What about the weight of electric vehicles, says another. By the way, if they were to tax internal combustion SUVs, the move to electric SUVs would be quite rapid, I would suggest, because the price equalization. So maybe they'll think along those lines. EVs are the only cars that should be heavily taxed due to their excessive weight, says another. If the road tax is based on weight, the EV cars and PHEVs will be disproportionately affected as they are heavier than their fossil fuel equivalents due to the weight of the batteries. This seems to be therefore counterproductive, from Ian in Dublin. So for families that need a large SUV, what's the answer? Replacing that with a second and or third car. Yeah, that's a great way to save the world. Larger people, larger cars. Tackle the processed food, ready meal culture to reduce the size of people, and they'll be happier in a smaller car. There's no incentive to switch to EV. The cost of the EV, the hidden cost of getting the home charging unit, the ESB increasing their on-street charging fees, the lack of charging facilities, no reduction in motor tax. Sort all of that out first and people might switch. Well, I heard Shane Beattie talking about his electric car. He says he's never had to use a public charger. He charges it in his driveway and he's very happy with that.
Yeah, well, we're the same. And we have one electric car in the house. It has never plugged into the public charging network. It probably never will. And I know we've spoken before, Pat, but little things to help that. When you hear that Dublin City Council are frustrating a homeowner who's come up with a really good solution so that he can use an electric vehicle despite not having his own parking space, you need to hear about councils helping with things like that rather than frustrating it. But I mean, I'm actually of the view that the public charging network is going to diminish in importance as more and more people just charge at home. I mean, if I'm travelling from here to Cork, for example, in the electric car, it would cost about €9 in electricity to get down there. But if you charge publicly for the journey back, it's going to cost about €25 to come home. Mm. So there's a huge difference in the, you know, basically avoid the public charging network unless you need it.
All right. A couple to conclude. Tax should be based on usage. It costs the same amount to build or repair a road for an EV as it does for a normal vehicle. You know, the weight might have some extra effect. But this is interesting. A Ford Cortina Mark III saloon. Remember that? A wheelbase of 2560mm. A Lexus NX 300h SUV has a wheelbase of 2660mm. That's a difference of about 3 inches in old money. Not much difference. So the argument of cars becoming much larger, it doesn't stack up. That's according to Martin in Galway. Well, just take the old Austin Mini and compare it to the BMW Mini and you'll see quite a large amount of expansion. Or the old Fiat 500 versus the current Fiat 500. Those have certainly grown apace. Those extra taxes on SUVs will kill the resale value of cars. It'll mean that no one will be able to trade in their five-year-old SUV. Well, they will, but they'll just get less money than they perhaps expected for it.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.